It was a great regret to me that they changed the system, because I felt, although the jobbing system was unique to this country, I felt it had something which other systems did not have.
Could you explain what they were?
I felt that the buffer system, the jobber system was, actually did cut down on volatility and made for a better market.
Mm-hmm. Were you very conscious of Charlesworth being one of the smaller jobbing firms?
Yes, I was. One was being pushed into dealing in larger and larger amounts of stock. We were taking much greater risks. We still had a very small capital. I was fully aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Were there any occasions when the firm actually got into trouble because it had taken on a bit more than it could handle?
There was the odd occasion when we were helped out. Mm-hmm.
Could you describe one of those in very general terms without necessarily going into the details? Because I think it helps in contrasting the differing positions of the smaller firms with the larger firms and the different kinds of problems that smaller firms encountered.
We have found ourselves with a crossbook, too many large positions. Market had moved, and we found ourselves having difficulty in undoing our large positions. Certainly, if we undid them at the market prices, would show an unacceptably high loss. So, I think the government broker encouraged one, if in the rare occasions it ever happened, the larger jobbers to help the smaller jobbers out. It was a very rare occurrence. It did happen to us on the odd occasion when we'd taken on unpopular stocks, couldn't get rid of them. We'd sold popular stocks, and we were left with cross positions which were costing us money.
In these circumstances, was jobbing becoming so risky for you that you'd ever considered as a firm of actually closing down and not continuing for the same reasons, for example, that a firm like Francis and Praed had got out in the early 70s?
I suppose it must have gone through our mind. Mm-hmm. It certainly went through my mind once or twice. By that time, the older partners had retired. One's own personal capital in the firm was such that without it, the firm needed you. Mm. And then you thought of, if you withdrew, how would you close it down, and all the problems. And so one took a deep breath and went on and hoped that things would get better, which they did.
In what sense did they get better?
The market became better, or you... started making money again, didn't... Yes, you... Yes, basically the market became more favourable to you, and you managed to unwind your positions, and you found a formula to make more money. Mm. I think the formula for us in the... late 70s, early 80s, was the growth of low coupon marketing in shorts, which I tended to specialise in. And a lot of small people were finding that with high tax rates, that the low coupon stocks with a redemption within 5 years were a very good way of preserving their capital and not paying out too much in tax. And so we were doing a very good business in those. And the non-professional firms were doing this business. So it was great in that they were coming to you rather than going to Acrod or Wed. and you were building up an expertise in them, which we probably had as much expertise as the larger firms had. And one built a reputation on that. And it was particularly pleasing for me, that. And in fact, for some years, we kept the that type of business kept the firm going. We were probably losing money on the longs and making money on the shorts. Not the high coupon shorts, but the low coupon shorts. And there was money to be made because, and if you had, I can't remember, but if you had the right position when the stock went ex-dividend and so forth, and got it right, there was quite a lot of money to be made. And I think that's how we got out of one or two holes.
How would your own career with the firm developed, going right up now to 1984? Were you personally acquiring more responsibility? Did you become particularly responsible for areas of the firm's running?
I started off, I can't remember when it was, when we were about the last firm to have a separate short-dated section. And I agreed sometime during the 70s to start off a short-dated section because there were too many stocks. It was all right when you only dealt in about 20-something stocks. But when you were getting a list of 60 or 70 stocks, it was quite impossible for everybody to deal in every stock. So I agreed. I said to Richard that I couldn't see how we could possibly make money on shorts, which were very much a big jobber's market. But we needed to have a separate section. And I was prepared to start it. So I took a young dealer on, and we had a little bit of help from one or two brokers in seeing we weren't too far out on prices in the mornings, because we needed it. And we weren't in such a good position in the market, physically, in those days. On the wall we were in the New Stock Exchange. We were a rather long way from the major firms of jobbers. But lo and behold, instead of losing money, we actually made a little bit of money, which was pleasing. And we took the pressure off the rest of the dealers who could concentrate on doing longs. And I enjoyed that because I felt a bit of an understudy. I came into the firm after Richard Block. He was a fairly charismatic character. Volatile character. We were both quite different characters. And I felt the time had come, really, when I wanted to do my own thing. And so I could be, I was quite happy to take on the shorts and to do my own thing there, let him carry on with the longs. And it seemed to work. It was quite a good formula. I mean, he was very good. He was very fly and all the things that a jobber should be. A volatile character. And we got on pretty well, but we were very different. And then we developed, after having a separate short section, we started doing this low coupon. We started specialising on low coupon stocks, which... until they changed the tax legislation, was great. We were doing very well on them and kept the firm running for a few years.
Mm. Now, I note in one of the list of members, stock exchange members for the 1980s, you are listed as the finance partner and the administrative partner.
Well, yes. I mean, this happened, like all small firms, it's... everybody knows everything about the firm. And being a small firm, you know, it was up to every partner to know everything about everything that went on. I seem to remember somebody, they changed the rules and you had to nominate somebody. I think it was probably during the 70s, I can't remember exactly. You had to nominate somebody as financial partner and somebody as administrative partner. I think I made the mistake of going away on holiday. I came back to find that I was financial partner and administrative partner. Yes, if there's any problems with the stock exchange or any problem over your accounts or anything, then you had to go and sort them out.
Did you as a firm have much contact with the powers that be, as it were, the Stock Exchange Council? Were you involved in the general running of the Stock Exchange, or was it something that really went on over your head?
We didn't have anybody in the firm who was on the council or anything like that. We couldn't afford to. You needed every partner on the floor of the house. We couldn't afford to let somebody put up for council. No. Yes, you knew the councillors, and if you had a moan, you could always have a moan to somebody. But we didn't have anything to do with the running of the Stock Exchange at all.
What was your feeling in 1983 when Nicholas Goodison came to his agreement with Cecil Parkinson to reform the rule book?
Oh, act of horror, really. Mm. Very much against it. Mm. It was... I felt... I think we felt completely let down at the time. And thought it was wrong. Could see disaster occurring. And I regret very much. I suppose I regret that the Stock Exchange probably, we hadn't realised how the world was changing. We were living in our own little world and probably hadn't modernised or updated our systems and how we went about things in the Stock Exchange for too long. But I regret the wholesale change that took place, which was very unhealthy, and I still maintain that to this day. That it was a wrong move and it shouldn't have happened. Certainly it shouldn't have happened as it did happen then. Mm.
Now, what did you as a firm decide to do in this new situation? Did you want to try and keep going as long as possible, or did you really feel the game was up?
We weren't making money. Mm. We were having a pretty difficult time. Mm. Our limited capital was beginning to tell. You wonder how long the capital would last, too, if you're losing money. It was not a situation we were used to. And the brokers realised that the game was up with them unless they managed to join with a market maker. Word and Ackroyd didn't have much difficulty in finding willing partners there. And Greeson were on the lookout for a market maker because the Bank of England were encouraging these sort of mergers and so forth. And we linked up through contacts. We linked up with Greeson Grant. And that's how it happened.
What was the atmosphere like in the Stock Exchange during these last few years when you were conscious that the system was going to change, but it still hadn't actually changed yet? For example, I've been told by some people that there was a lot of competition for market share, and also that a lot of the old standards went. Now, again, from your perspective as a smaller jobber, perhaps you may have been a bit more detached from this.
No, I don't think we were. The type of people. It was a club in the old days. And if you're club members, you don't tend to let in people that are unacceptable. I mean, it's a bad system, but it worked. people without any background, young people without any background, and from a different sort of way of life, started trading and dealing and so forth. Nothing against them, they did a very good job. But they hadn't got the background and perhaps the stability the older people had. And everything seemed to... I mean, one hasn't heard the expression, my word is my bond, for years, but that was on everybody's lips in the old days. And it very much was that. That sort of, those sort of morality slipped. But it was slipping well before Big Bang. I would say that morality of dealing and so on was slipping badly.
Mm. In what ways did it show?
No longer were people's, if they crossed out, they couldn't, a lot of people couldn't hardly have said, my word is my bond.
Mm. So you were feeling that the people you were dealing with were perhaps a little less trustworthy?
Very much so. Mm. You see, in the old days, I think if somebody was untrustworthy, they found it very, very difficult. If they let you down once, then you would never deal with them again. Mm. But it was those sort of moral standards were slipping. Mm.
Now, at the same time, the early 80s, the government itself wanted to change the system for issuing government stock. Was this due to pressures that you were aware of as jobbers on the floor of the House? Did you welcome a change in the gilt market? Or, again, did this feel as if it was something that was going to be imposed upon you?
I think the old system of issuing stock, I think the government very often did give money away to people like ourselves. I think we did do well out of it. When there were lots of taps, the old system of taps and so forth, I think there was a lot of money to be made on that. Yes, I think it probably was rather wasteful.
Now, you've already mentioned some of the strengths of the jobbing system. Were there any weaknesses?
Yes, I suppose the weaknesses were that there were only two large firms, until Big Bang, there were only two, in effect, two large firms dealing, Wed and Aykroyd. Mm. They had the market carved up between them. Mm. It would have been better if there had been a third large force. And a lack of capital. I mean, the smaller firms lacked capital to compete effectively. Yes, undoubtedly, that with a bigger turnover, large amounts of trading going on. I was constantly aware that we were over-trading, really, for the size of capital we had. Mm. Yes, I did have a few sleepless nights. You're quite right.
Did you feel jobbing had been a risky business to be involved in, as opposed to broking or many other different professions?
In the latter part of my life on the stock exchange, yes. The early years, no. But one didn't have to take risks to make money in the early days.
What would you say were the qualities required to be a successful jobber? Say, for example, in your case, what did you feel the qualities were required to be able to go out there each day, to stand on the floor of the house and to do business?
I believe, yes, you had to be quick-witted. You had to be you had to make instantaneous decisions all day long. I think you had to be a judge of character. You had to be a judge of, I felt I used to know when a dealer came up to deal with me. I used to be able to read him. The sort of business he had, Sometimes I could guess whether he was buying or selling. Purely by the way he went about it. They all had their characteristics. Where they walked sometimes, whether they went twice around the pillar. All this came into it, which as soon as you started dealing on screens, because it's completely lost to you. You know, sort of people phoning on the phone, it wasn't the same thing as actually dealing face to face with somebody. I used to find, I had a sort of second sense, I felt. Mm. That, and I could tell. Perhaps a small broker had a rather larger order than he's used to handle, and you could tell that he was a bit more shifty, or he's a bit shaky, or he's a bit diffident, or he was behaving in a different way. And I also felt that the fact I believed people thought I was honest and straightforward, and that did definitely helped. I don't believe that it helps anybody at all these days, but perhaps I'm wrong.
Now, if someone had come up to you as a partner in a stock exchange firm in the 1970s and asked you for your advice about whether they ought to go into the stock exchange, what would you have said to them?
I would probably said no.
Why was that?
because the character had changed and the type of people coming up were different. Well, certainly not to do what I was doing. Certainly, I felt there was scope for research side and that sort of thing, but not, perhaps not the trading side.
Now, looking back from the perspective of 1990, on your decision to be a jobber rather than a broker in the long term, how do you feel about that?
In the light of my experiences at Dave and Candy, it was the right decision to make. I think if I'd been with a different firm of brokers, I might have stayed as a broker.
Do you feel your original attitude to jobbers, when you'd first gone into the stock exchange, had changed through your experience of being a jobber yourself?
Oh yes, I think so.
Did you feel, though, at the end of the day that the jobbers were still a different type of person to the broker, or do you feel they were more or less the same?
Yes, they're different. Different skills definitely needed.
Did you feel they were a different class of person?
Yes, but not to the same extent.
Well, I think we can finish
Okay.
on that note. Thank you very much.